أن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Today inshaAllah we're going to continue with the Nawaqid of al-Islam, which is an Arabic word that means those things which nullify a person's Islam. The singular form of the word is Nawaqid, and the plural form of the word is Nawaqid. We went through that already linguistically and what was taking place in the language, and we explained to the brothers about the uniqueness and about the dikka, the minuteness of the Arabic language, and that any time you have a word that's on the scale of the ismul fa'il, like nafid, like sa'il, like hatif, like shari', the way that you make that word plural will always be nawaqid, hawatif, shawari', all the time, with the condition that the ismul fa'il, it doesn't have a mind. It is something that is abstract and it doesn't have a mind. We went through that already and it would take up too much time. So we're going to deal with the second thing, that if a person falls into this thing, it will render his Islam null and void. And if his Islam is rendered null and void, then as a result of that, his actions and his deeds are going to be null and void. And we explained already that this is a book that we're going through that was written by one of the tremendous scholars of al-Islam by the name of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. He's a man who Allah Ta'ala sent during a time to renew the religion and to give life back into the Ummah after the Ummah had went far away from al-Islam and they started to worship other than Allah Ta'ala the way the Jews and the Christians worship other than Allah. So the second thing that he mentioned from the Nawaqid of al-Islam is when he said, من جعل بينه وبين الله وسائط يدعوهم ويسألهم الشفاعة ويتوكل عليهم كفر إجماعا. The second thing that would nullify your al-Islam is a person who puts between him and Allah an intermediary, a person who's going to serve as the middleman between you and Allah. He makes dua to that person or that thing, or he seeks from that person or that thing intercession, and he depends upon that thing or that person by making the tawakkul. He says that this person who does this is a disbeliever by the consensus of the scholars of al-Islam. So the second person who, if he falls into this, it will render his Islam null and void, and he goes outside of the fold of al-Islam, and that is the person who doesn't understand that he has a direct line and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't understand that, so as a result of that, he does what the mushrikun did yesterday and what the mushrikun continue to do today, and that is he puts between him and Allah a middleman. Those kuffar, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told in the Quran when he came and he started to give them da'wah, and they were asked, Ya Quraysh, why are you people worshiping all of these gods of the Kaaba? Why? They said, Ma na'buduhum illa liyqarribuna ila Allahi zulfa. We do not worship these things except because they bring us closer to Allah. We believe in Allah, it's just that we're going to worship these idols and these statues because in worshiping them, honoring for them, making dua to them, respecting them and honoring them, they are going to serve as the middleman between us and Allah. Allah is too pure, Allah is too great. He needs to send His Son to shed His blood to die for everyone's sin. Whoever does that in the religion of Islam in any shape, form, or fashion, he goes outside of the realm, outside of the fold of the religion of Islam. And ikhwan, once you brothers start given the opportunity to travel across the globe, around the globe, you're going to find that the Muslims, out of all of the nawaqid of Islam that we're going to talk about, out of everything that we talk about, the Muslims fall in this one more than anything else. All you have to do is you go to any Muslim country, and you'll find that the Muslims have put between themselves and before Rabbil Alameen many men who they pray to and they depend upon and they ask their intercession. We already gave an example of how the Christians do that by saying that God so loveth the world that He sent His only begotten Son, so that they, whoever should believe in Him, will have everlasting life. The lie of that statement from the beginning to the end is ignorant, that is compounded. That's how the Christians do it. But how do the Muslims, people who claim La ilaha illallah, that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah, that's a clear contradiction to that statement. How is it a person who says this statement and he believes in it, how is it manifested in his behavior that he puts between him and Allah Ta'ala, a middleman? It comes in many ways. One of the clearest ways is that the people make dua to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. They supplicate to Prophet Muhammad. We honor, we love, and we respect the Messenger of Allah. May Allah be pleased with him, and may Allah Ta'ala grant him peace and blessings and salutations of all good. He is the best of Allah's creation. Him, along with the other prophets and messengers, they are the best human beings. And we have to respect that and honor that position. The Muslims, during his time, they were prohibited from raising their voices in his presence and speaking to him the way they speak to each other. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدِ اللَّهِ. All you believe, do not put yourself before Allah. Don't put your opinions in yourself before Allah. And then he went on to say in the next ayah, وَلَا تَرْفَوُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ. And do not raise your voices over the voice of the Messenger of Allah. And if you do that, you will render your deeds null and void. So they used to address him by saying, Ya Rasulullah. They used to say, Hey Muhammad. They used to say, Ya Rasulullah. The only people who used to come and call him by his first name were Bedouin. People were new to Islam. People didn't know yet. But the companions, they used to say, Ya Rasulullah, may my mother and my father be sacrificed for you. And then they'd go and say what they wanted to say. Terms of endearment, honor, and respect. But that doesn't mean in any way that they worship the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or he should be worshipped, as the people do now. So when people need things, they call on the Messenger of Allah. And then from him, we find the righteous people. The people go to the righteous people in the grave, like those imams who we know to be righteous imams that Allah knows best, and they call on them, and they ask them to ask Allah to forgive them, to ask Allah to give to them, to ask Allah to cure them. This is another way in which the people fall into making a middleman between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that there is the servant, he said that Allah said there was a servant who woke up this morning as a kafir and a servant who woke up this morning as a believer. As for the one who woke up as a disbeliever, he was the one who said the rain has come down as a result of such and such a star or planet. And for the one who woke up as a believer, he's the one who woke up and said, it rained today as a result of Allah. So we have people, when they seek to make it rain, I say this with my own eyes. On the learning channel, I say with my own eyes, how these people were in one of those African countries that we're not going to mention out of fear that someone may think we're picking on that country. They were Muslims. And the chief of the tribe had been dead for 20 years. Now they wanted to make one of the sons the new chief. They slaughtered a chicken, they slaughtered a goat, and they slaughtered a cow, calling on the father who died, spirit to come back, to ask Allah which one should be chosen as the new chief. Wallahi, that is an example of how the Muslims fall into making middlemen between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the Muslim wants to know something that he has no knowledge of, he prays Salat al-Istikhara and he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him some guidance. So this issue of making a middleman between you and Allah, it is the one issue that people of the Ummah today fall into more than any other issue of what we're going to read about. There's an ayah in the Quran. I was asking the brothers, someone give me a proof from the Quran or from the Sunnah that clearly shows that it is not permissible to make a middleman between you and Allah. Someone give me one ayah from the Quran, one hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dhulqarnayn, Abu Hazim. Tajuddin. Kullama ra'aytukum bayyina. Now, what's the ayah? وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْرِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. And they have been ordered to establish the worship only for Allah and to be sincere to Him and to establish the religion only for Him. Not to establish any form of worship to other than Allah. Now, Ikhwan, the unfortunate thing is, Abu Amir, when you go to the people of the Ummah today, and Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he wrote what he wrote here because he was dealing with the condition of the Muslims who were around him at that time. He saw that the Muslims during his time, they had erected around the Kaaba many idols after the Kaaba was purified and cleansed from shirk and kufr. They put in front of the Kaaba date palm trees that they used to worship. They shellacked them, waxed them, and the Muslims started worshiping them, making sajda to them and slaughtering for these trees during his time. Whenever you stand before the Muslims and you say to them, you cannot call on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order to get you out of your problem, or you cannot call on Abdul Qadir al-Jailani to get you out of your problem, nor can you call Imam so-and-so to get you out of your problem, the person is going to respond by saying, you don't love the awliya and the salihin. You don't love the righteous people and you don't love the awliya of Allah. Which is a qiyas or an analogy that is fasid. It is fasid. No good. You can't use that kind of fasad, that kind of qiyas. You're telling the person it's made haram to call on other than Allah, and they understand from that you don't love Rasulullah. When you say to a person, you cannot call on to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like that, they say you don't love Rasulullah. You don't respect and you don't honor the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And when you look at that issue, I'm telling you, brothers have not been exposed to this problem, so that's why it may not be something that you can really conceptualize like Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. He has to deal with this, and as a result of that, if you start to meet people who heard of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, they hate Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, and what they say about him was, he used to kill the awliya of Allah and the righteous people. His dawah, the dawah of the Wahhabiyya, it's a dawah that hates the awliya because they say you can't call on righteous people to be intercessors between you and Allah, and they don't worship Rasulullah's birthday, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If they respected and loved Rasulullah, they will ask Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, ask Allah to help me with this. If they love Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will honor and respect him by worshiping, celebrating his birthday, alayhi salatu wa salam. So now this is, alhamdulillah, this is an issue here that we have to keep it in that context. No, that this is what the Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab was dealing with. The next thing that we want to mention, Ikhwan, concerning this issue is we want to give you some of the dalil that show you how you can't do this. The first dalil is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's in Surah Saba. I guess you spell that S-A-B-L. Ayat number 23. When Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Surah Saba, S-A-B-L. Verse number 23. And you go back and you have to look this up. If you don't have a Quran with you right now, Allah Ta'ala said, قُلْ أَدْعُوا الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةً فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ
وما لهم فيهما من شرك وما لهم منهم من ظهير ولا تنفع الشفاعة عنده إلا لمن أذن له. سينتدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Call on those who you think can help you other than Allah. They do not possess, nor do they own, the atom's weight. They don't own an atom's weight of health or help in the sky or in the earth. Nor do they, are they considered to be Allah's partners, nor do they themselves have helpers. No one can make their intercession except the one who Allah allows. That's the first ayah. There are other ayahs. I want to deal with a hadith that you all know about, and that is the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam was approached by one of his companions. And the companion said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ma sha'Allah wa shitta ya Rasulullah. The companion said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ma sha'Allah. It is as Allah has chosen. Wa shitta ya Rasulullah. And it is as you have decreed and chosen. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon hearing that, he knew, Tajuddin, that the man was just making a mistake in his terms. Is it possible that any of you who are sitting here, even firstly, a new Muslim, who hasn't been a Muslim for an hour yet, he accepted Islam because he knows that there's no authority above the authority of Allah. God Almighty is the only one who can allow something to happen. If he doesn't allow it, it's not going to happen. Then you look at yourself. No one in his right mind who is sitting here would ever think that someone or something other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the ability to do something or to decree something along with Allah. Since all of us understand that, do you think that it's possible that the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't understand that? They were the ones who understood Allah better than everyone else. It was a statement that he was saying, it was just a mistake. It is as Allah has decreed and as Allah wants and as you decree and as you want, Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon hearing that, he took his finger as Sharifa and he started to point it in the man's chest. And he started to poke him. And he said to the man, أَجْعَلْتَنِ لِلَّهِ عَدْلًا قُلْ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ. Have you made me a partner with Allah? Say, it is as Allah decrees. It is as Allah wants by himself. Now the people of today, when we are trying to get the Islamic authority back and we're trying to take over and to establish Islam in the world, they say issues like this, like teaching the Muslims why it's important to leave your beard, why it's important to come to the masjid, why it's important why the Muslim woman should wear this hijab properly. Now they didn't say the niqab, why she should wear the proper hijab. She chooses to wear the niqab, alhamdulillah. Why it's important for us to regulate the watching of the TV by ourselves and our children. When we talk about these issues and we try to tell the Muslims smoking is haram, things that they have it within the ability to stop doing, the people will respond by saying, look, those issues are small issues. We need to get an Islamic government. We need to get the Bayt al-Mal. We need to establish a Khilafah. We need to establish a Hudud. We need to get rid of these oppressive rulers. We need to make jihad against the kuffar. We need to get economic infrastructures, and we need to get in the political arena and change the condition. All of these big issues that are in actuality very important, but right now they're castles in the sand. We look at this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the companion made a mistake. He made a statement that wasn't true. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the time out right now to rectify the issue, to call that man to that thing, which he had the ability to change and to understand. And he was serious about it by poking him in his chest, making the man feel the seriousness of the issue. Have you made me a partner with Allah? This is not a small issue. So it goes to show us that all of the issues of Islam are important, especially those issues that are connected to a man's aqidah, his ideology. The Muslim woman, she says, La ilaha illallah. There is no God worthy of worship but Allah. And she believes that. If you were to take her and you say, I'm going to stab you, if you don't leave your Islam. Many of them, If they left Islam and they said the word of kufr, they only said in like sukya, just to hide it so that they can live. But really, after she leaves that castle or that person wants to kill her, she'll say, oh Allah, you know I said that just so that I can remain alive. She really believes in Islam. Not to mention the one who says, I refuse to leave my Islam. So when she has a baby, she has a child, she takes the Quran and she puts the Quran at the head of the child, thinking that the Quran is going to save the child. Wallahi, that's making between her and Allah a middleman or a middle book. That is a form of shirk, disbelief. To think that you can take the Quran pages, it's the speech of Allah, no doubt. But it in of itself, the papers of it, the folders of it, the binding, the human beings put that together. That cannot protect you from Allah Ta'ala. To get into your car and to have the dua of traveling and to handle in your car and to think that that paper is going to save you from an accident, this is putting between you and Allah Ta'ala a middleman. And all of that is not permissible. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the time out always to say to his companions, what are you doing when they did something that went against the aqidah of Islam? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went for the war. And this is another proof about how Islam is against making intercessors. After fighting the war and having the initial engagement with the kuffar, the Muslims took their rest. And then they looked at the kuffar and they saw that the disbelievers took to themselves a tree that is called Batil Anwar. And they hung their swords on the tree, and their spears on the tree, and their shields on the tree, and they tied some of their horses to the tree, thinking that the tree was going to give them power and ability. Some of the non-Muslims witnessed that, and they knew that this was a practice of Jahiliyyah. They said, Ya Rasulallah, make a tree for us like they have a tree. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon hearing that, he said, رحم الله أخي موسى فقد أذي بأكثر من ذلك فصبر. May Allah have mercy upon my brother Musa. He was annoyed with more than what you just requested, and he was patient. Meaning what? Since he was annoyed with more than that, then I have more right to be patient with what you just asked me for. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam led Bani Israel from Egypt. They went through the water, they saw the water opening up for them. As soon as they got to the other side, they saw some people worshiping a calf. They said, Musa, make a calf out like they have a calf. Would you make that request after you just saw the power of Allah taking you through the water? Allah saved you from Fir'aun, who was doing all of that to you, taking your woman for Fir'aun to come to you and say, I want your wife. I want your daughter. And you couldn't do anything about it. You see, Mona consoled Adad. يُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَكُمْ. He used to punish you with tremendous punishment. Abdullah ibn Abbas said that punishment was, like the Bible says, he used to make the people make the bricks out of mud and straw. And then when Musa came on the scene, he took the straw out and made them make it just out of the mud. He used to punish you. He used to slaughter your sons and he used to save your women folks. Save them for what? For him. So after all of that power, you saw from Allah, you're going to say that? Similarly, that's what the Prophet was saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that hadith is known as the hadith of that al-anwaf. That alif ta al-anwaf. Another proof against the permissibility. You all know the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhumah. Anybody know what the relationship was between Rasulullah and Abdullah ibn Abbas? They were relatives and they were kin. What was the relationship? Anybody know? They were cousins, huh?
Abbas was the uncle.
Now, Rasulullah's father, whose name was Abdullah, was the brother of Abbas. So that made Abdullah ibn Abbas the first cousin of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and one of those young men, like Ali. Ali also was the cousin of Rasulullah and Abdullah ibn Abbas. They were first cousins, which is a very important position from the Arab. You have the distant cousin and the first cousin. The first cousins are very close. So Abdullah ibn Abbas, along with Ali ibn Abi Talib, they were very, very, very close.
You remember the hadith that Abbas, Abdullah bin Abbas, he was riding behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his beast, and the Messenger of Allah said to him, "O young man, I'm going to teach you some words. I'm going to give you some prophetic wisdom." He said, "Remember Allah, and Allah will remember you. Remember Allah in the good times, and He'll remember you in the bad times. And if you ask, only ask from Allah." Abdullah bin Abbas, from this part, he said, once I heard that hadith, if I was riding on my camel and something fell off of my camel, I would not ask anyone to give it to me. I'll get off my camel, I'll pick it up and get back on my beast. He said, if you ask, ask only from Allah. And if you seek refuge, وَإِذَا اسْتَعِنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ, if you seek refuge or if you seek assistance, only seek assistance from Allah. And then he went on to say, وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةِ لَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ. And know this for a fact. If this ummah, if the human beings came together to benefit you with something, they will not benefit you with anything except what Allah wrote for you. And if they came together in order to harm you, they will not harm you except with what Allah has written to harm you. So how is it, Abdullah bin Abbas, look how the Prophet is teaching the young child, the young boy, who grew up to ultimately preserve for us the Quran, to preserve for us much of the authentic Sunnah. He's one of the six people now in the majority of the Hadith. He taught that young boy, which goes to show that the father should teach his children like that. Doesn't make sense for you to have a child, and then you teach your child, when he does something bad, the boogeyman is going to get you. How the boogeyman? You teach that child that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who's going to benefit you, and only Allah can write that which is going to harm you. So if all of the ummah, if they came together to benefit you or to harm you, they'll never harm you except with Allah. And there are so many ajilla on that. The hadith that we took the other day with Abu Dharr. The hadith of Abu Dharr, Ya ibadi, inni haramtu ala nafsi al-zulm, wa ja'altu bainakum muharrama fala tazalimu. That hadith is another proof. The proof of the hadith the other day of Usama bin Zayd, when Zaynab radiallahu anha called the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come and help me, ask Allah not to take my baby. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her, Lillahi ma afa. Allah will take everything that He has given, and everything has a prescribed period of time. So all of those are proofs to show the issue of not being able to have intercessors along with Allah. So this issue of al-shafa'ah, this is a new kalima for you guys. Al-shafa'ah. Al-shafa'ah. That's al-Islam, and then the sheen, al-shamsiyah, and it's mushaddada. Al-shafa'ah. Sheen, fa, alif, ayn, ta, and marbuta. Al-shafa'ah. It means the intercession, to be able to intercede. This is very important that you understand it. There are two types of intercession in our class. There are two types. Type A. Two types of intercession. The intercession that is manfiyatun anha. It is the intercession that is prohibited. You can't do it. It's haram to make this intercession. And that is the intercession of what? Asking other than Allah Ta'ala to do this for you, to intercede for you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam cannot intercede for us right now. The Shaykh in the grave, he cannot intercede for you right now. Even your father who has died on al-Islam, and you're still, he's benefiting from you, and that you're the righteous son that's making the dua for him. You can't say, "Father, I'm looking out for you while you're in the grave by making dua for you. Now look out for me by helping me with Allah. Ask Allah." You can't do that. That's the shafa'ah that is prohibited. The second shafa'ah is the shafa'ah al-muskita, the one that is established in Islam. It's permissible. But this shafa'ah, ikhwan, is only for the people of at-tawheed
and the people of Al-Ikhlas. This intercession can only be sought for and from the people of Al-Tawheed and the people of Al-Ikhlas. The one who is requesting the intercession has to be from the people of Al-Tawheed and the people of sincerity. And the one who the Shafa'ah is being requested from has to be from the people of Al-Tawheed and the people of Al-Ikhlas. And it only can be done with two issues that you have to have. Idafatan wa ziyadatan lima dhukira. The second type of intercession, the intercession of the people of the Tawheed al-Ikhlas, it has to have added to it two issues. Number one, it only can be by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It only can take place by the permission of Allah. Even if you are a person of Ikhlas and Tawheed, and you're asking a person from Al-Ikhlas and Tawheed to make the intercession for you, it only can be made by the permission of Allah. The proof of that is the greatest ayat of the Quran. What's the greatest ayat of the Quran, Abdullah? Naam, the greatest ayat that's in the Quran is ayat what? Abudi. Ayat al-Kursi. The ayat of the footstool. Ayat 255 from Surah Al-Baqarah. It's Surah 2, verse 255. Every Muslim goes back and he has to read that, and he has to acquaint himself with this ayah. He gets himself a Quran. He goes directly to verse 255 in chapter 2, and he makes himself aware of this particular verse. In that ayah, Allah Ta'ala said, "Man alladhi yashfa'u illa bi'idhnihi." Who is it that is going to have the ability to make the intercession except by his permission? So the intercession can only be granted by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's one of the ayahs. Another proof is in Surah Al-Anbiya. Surah Al-Anbiya. What is Al-Anbiya? The prophet. And the singular form of Al-Anbiya Tajideen is what? Al-Nabi. Nabiyun is one, Anbiya is the plural. In Surah Al-Anbiya, ayah number 28, Allah Ta'ala said, وَلَا يَشْفَعُونَ إِلَّا لِمَنَ ارْتَضَى. And they will not have the ability to intercede except those who Allah is pleased with allowing them to intercede. In Surah Al-Najm, Al-Najm, Akhi, Abu Dawud, Al-Najm, what's the translation of Al-Najm? What's the plural of Al-Najm? Najm. But that's a good try, Najm. 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 See, Najm would be like that. If you can say Najm, because it doesn't have an aqal and it's on the wazn of fa'il. Whatever is on the wazn of fa'il, ismu fa'il, and is bidun aqlan, yujma' how? As fawa'il. Naqid, nawaqid. Hatif, hawatif. شارع شوارع سائل سواحل ساحل سواحل ها اسم فاعل على الوزن فاعل and it doesn't have an عقل all the time. In Surah Al-Najm ayat number 26, the ayat is talking about the angels, and Allah Ta'ala said about the angels in the sky, in the heavens, وَلَا تُغْنِي شَفَاعَتَهُمْ شَيْئًا إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ أَنْ يَأْدِنَ اللَّهِ لِمَنْ شَاءَ وَيَرْضَى. And their intercession will not benefit anyone or anything except after Allah has given permission to those who He has pleased with. So the first point is, it has to have the permission of Allah Ta'ala to the one who's going to do the intercession, to the one you're asking to intercede for you. And the second thing that we understand from the ayat that were read is that Allah has to be pleased with that issue. That's the second thing, that Allah has to be pleased with the issue. You understand that point? That Allah has to be pleased. The first one, it only can take place by the permission of Allah. None of this creation is going to make
intercession. He's going to intercede for you. And Allah Ta'ala doesn't want it to happen. None of His creation has the ability to do that. Ya ayyuha al-nas, duriba mathalun fastami'u lahu. Inna al-ladina tad'una min dunillahi lan yakhluqu dhibaba. Walau ijtama'u lahu. O you mankind, example is similar to what has been given to you. Verily those things that you call on other than Allah, they cannot create the fly. Even if they all came together for the creation of the fly, it's too weak. So none of Allah's creation is going to jump over the level of al-ubudiyah, him being an abd, him being a slave. Not Rasulullah, not Isa, not Musa, none of the prophets, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. Now we come to a very, very important issue that we need you to understand. What we just mentioned is very easy up until this point. It's all self-explanatory and it's not difficult at all. And that is the beauty of the book of Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. He wrote it for the layman. And yet you'll find that many Muslims fall into these issues. The next thing is the issue of at-tawassul. At-tawassul. At-tawassul, ikhwan, it means التقرب or القربة. التوسل with a seen, not a thought, a seen. التوسل, التوسل means like you want to get from here to Lake Buena Vista. Now you need a vehicle that's going to carry you. You need something or someone is going to get you from there to there. That thing that's going to carry you there to your goal and your objective, that's the wasira. The word tawassul comes from that. So I want to get Allah's good pleasure. I want Allah to be pleased with me. So I'm going to make the tawassul. So linguistically, lughatan at-tawassul ta'ni al-qurba at-taqarrub. It means linguistically to get close. And then the religion, the religious meaning of it means التقرب إلى الله بعبادته واتباع رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Look, it means in the religious sense to get close to Allah by obeying Allah and following His Prophet صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم بكل عمل يحبه الله تعالى ويرضاه. And every action that Allah loves and is pleased with, that's what the tawassul is in Islam. Akhi, Amir, Abu Amir, Imo. A tawassul in Islam, the religious sense, the meaning is to get close to Allah by obeying Allah, by worshipping Allah, and by following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And every action that Allah Ta'ala loves and is pleased with. I want to get to paradise. I have to make the tawassul by obeying Allah, following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, staying away from the ma'asi, the ma'asi and the sin. Wa alaykum salam salah. And that's why, ikhwan, I tell you, many times when you read those books about the righteous predecessors, if those people were here today, many of us would not like to be in their presence because the level of their commitment and the level of their worship and understanding was so high and so far detached from where the people are today that they will be looked at as being truly the ghuraba, the strange people. I mean, just think about the companion going to the marketplace for the sole purpose of saying to the people, Assalamu alaikum, Assalamu alaikum, Assalamu alaikum. The people today will make the istihza and the tukhri of that today. They will make fun of that action. As I heard, when you say the Prophet's name, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a khutbah, in the class, and you keep saying it over and over, don't you know that there are people say, why do you keep on saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You know, since we said it once, we all know what you mean, we don't have to keep saying it. What about the person who always says to the people, go solely for the purpose of saying to the Muslims in the marketplace, Assalamu alaikum, because of the hadith, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَنْ تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا ولن تؤمنوا حتى تحابوا أفلا أدلكم على شيء إن فعلتموه تعبدتم بين أنفسكم قالوا بلى يا رسول الله قال افشوا السلام بينكم إن هذا حديث إشارة كاتسة حديث They go to the market of Asalawari. The people today they say, and I heard this, wallahi, I heard this. Here comes Abu Assalamu Alaikum. Here comes Abu Assalamu Alaikum. Making a stihda from the person. So now, the person at that time before, he hears a hadith about the importance of the dhikr of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. He sits with us while the people are talking about football and basketball, Malakir whiskey and this and that. He's sitting there and he's saying, SubhanAllah. La ilaha illallah. Someone comes to him and says, listen, Akhi, you gotta help us to solve the problem. He says, inshallah, I hope you just when you're ready, just let me know, right? Okay, you need him. La ilaha illallah. SubhanAllah. And he's constantly in the dhikr of Allah. The people today will say, oh, don't you know that the Prophet said you shouldn't be in the masjid all day? And they'll give you all of those reasons as to why you shouldn't be there. They will be the ghuraba, the strange people. Those people will be the strange people. So now, we're trying to get to the paradise, to the hereafter, so we gotta find out. What's the wasila, or what's the wasa'il? What's the vehicle that's going to get us there? What's going to get us there is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not worrying about the opinions of the people, when the people are clearly astray, when what you're doing is the right thing, you can't worry about the people. You go out accepting Islam, your relatives, your friends are gonna look at you as if you're crazy. You don't want to get high anymore. You don't want to smoke cigarettes anymore. You don't want to have a relationship with women who are not permissible for you anymore. You're going to start trying to commit yourself to pleasing God. They say, what are you doing? You're tripping out. No. I'm trying to get somewhere. I have a goal and an objective. I have to find out where's the car? Where's the vehicle? So that's the meaning of the wasila. Okay. What's the tawassul in the Islam? The tawassul, salamat insha'Allah. The tawassul in al-Islam is three types that are permissible. There are three types of a tawassul that are permissible, and we'll give you the dalil insha'Allah, akhi zahid. The first type of tawassul that's permissible is for you to make the tawassul with Allah. A tawassul billah. To make tawassul with Allah. Zahid. You ever heard of that before? Making the tawassul with Allah and by Allah? Who wants to help? What do you think, Akhi Imo, a tawassul billah with Allah, by Allah? What does it mean? What conjures up in your mind when you hear that? What do you understand? Just try. That's part of it, but it's something even clearer than that. That's part of it. Now we're trying to get close to Allah by doing certain things. And we got to do those things by making the tawassul with Allah. What do you think? Part of it is similar to what he said, but there's something clearer. Maybe I'm not posing the question in the way. What do you think? A tawassul by Allah with Allah is like this. My wife is pregnant, and I know that there is no authority on the face of the earth or in the sky above our heads that can deliver my child safely. My business right now, where I'm working, and any time I can go, they tell me tomorrow you're fired. Let's take my child who's in my wife's stomach. She goes into labor, or she's close to it. I get on my knees and I say, oh Allah, you're the giver of life and the giver of death. You're the provider. You're the one who is almighty, who is all merciful, who is all hearing, all knowing. I'm your weak place. You made a lot of mistakes. You love forgiveness, so please forgive me. You are this, you are that. This is making the tawassul with Allah by using His name. For whatever you want to accomplish, you glorify Allah and you show, oh Allah, I'm trying to get this particular thing. I'm not bribing you, but I see you as being almighty and all powerful, and I'm coming to you in sincerity, ikhlas. I cannot do and accomplish this thing except by way of you. So you make it to what with the names of Allah. What's the proof of that? So many. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he told us how we make the tawassul by Allah if any of you suffers from ghum or huzn, if anyone suffers from anxiety or depression, if anyone suffers from depression, anxiety, or extreme sorrow, ikhwan, depression is a mental illness. Anxiety is a mental illness. Those of us who are not manic depressant, wallahi, we don't know what those people go through. And yes, some Muslims suffer from it, even though they have all of these tools and weapons to prevent it. You know, many people, they used to think migraine headaches was something that people was just a figment of their imagination. If you suffer from migraine headaches, people used to think that you can take an aspirin and it'll just go away. But because the exposure to sports and athletics on the level that it's on in America, when that famous athlete from the Denver Broncos doing the Super Bowl, high profile, everybody watching it, he suffered from a migraine headache, they took him out of the game. You out of the game when you get a migraine. The game of life, you out. Incapacitated, can't do anything. They took him out of the game, all the marbles were on the line, all the money was on the line. That's when the people said, wow, migraines are really, really serious. The guy couldn't see the line of scrimmage. He said that the line in front of him, the people were blurred. So they said, you just go in there as a decoy and just wait and get out of the way. So there's issues like migraine, headache, anxiety, all of that stuff. Serious problem. The Prophet told us that any of you suffer from that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let him say, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi kulli ismin huwa laka. سميت فيه نفسك أو علمته أحد من عبادك أو أنزلته في كتابك أو استثبت به في علم الغيب عندك أن تجعل القرآن ربيع قلبي إلى آخره. Oh Allah, I ask you by every name you made yourself by it. You made yourself by those names. الرحمن الرحيم الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر المصور. All of those names you made yourself. And you took that name to one of your servants, from the prophets, from the messengers, from the righteous people, from the angels. Or you sent that name down in one of your books, like the names you sent down in the Quran, the names you sent down in the Torah, that may not be in the Quran, the names that you sent down in the Injil, that may not be in the Torah and the Injil, the names that you sent down in the Zabur, that may not be in the other books. Or you kept the knowledge of that name with you. You didn't tell anyone from your creation this is one of your names. You're so honest and honorable that you kept it only for you, in your knowledge. So I'm asking you by all of those names to make the Quran the light of my heart, and on and on and on. So the point is, you're asking Allah Ta'ala to get rid of the anxiety, the stress, the migraines, this and that, by calling on Him with His name. So that's the first type of tawassul that's permissible. Ikhwan, my brothers in Islam, there's not a single one of you right now except that we all are in need of this issue. Ajibin li'abd, it's a strange thing that's a servant. He leaves along all of the weapons of al-Islam and ma'asumah. The weapons that are going to work all the time. He leaves them and he doesn't leave them, and then he comes to the human beings and he says, Yahi, ana muhtaj. Ana ahtaj. I need this, I need that, I need this. Just now, the father is sitting in the majlis. Sit him in the midst. Something falls on the child. He has no ability to prevent it or to know what happened because of his weakness. All he can do is react. You can't be proactive. The only thing that you can do is react. Similarly, we left our children at home right now. There's nothing to prevent a fire from starting in the house last time or Allah. There's nothing preventing a burglar from entering into the house and deal with our families that which we don't even like to even think about. I mean, things can be unseen that you can't even imagine. So what the person does? He makes the tawassul in Allah, with Allah, to get protection in his family, by asking those names. He uses those dua more. Oh Allah, you are al-wahid al-qahhar. You are the one who knows all of the knowledge. Salatul istikhara. Same thing. Allahumma in yastikhiruka wa astakbiruka. All of those things, you know and I don't know. فَإِنَّكَ تَعْلَمُ وَلَا أَعْلَمُ. All of those things showing what? The Prophet is showing us, whenever you need something, you say these things, and it's one of the ways in which it works. The second way, ikhwan, and this is really important, The way you make the tawassul to Allah Ta'ala al-mashru'a is that you make the tawassul by your actions and your deeds. By your actions and your deeds. By your actions and your deeds. Da'ud al-Haddad al-Athari. What do you understand from that? La. أنت يا عبد الله السلفي لا نعم like the three people أصحاب الغار the three men who went into the cave a big boulder fell over the mouth of the cave and they were trapped inside of the cave so they said why don't each and every one of us mention something that we did in the past and ask Allah to move the rock So one of them said, Oh Allah, you know that I had a cousin, a girl, a woman. I used to love her like no man ever loved a woman before. And she came to me and she needed some help. I said, okay, I'll give you some help, financial help, if you have relationships with me. She saw refuge in Allah, she said no. But she came one time and she really needed the money, which goes to show poverty is a fitna. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before he used to go to bed, he used to seek refuge in Allah from poverty. And he used to say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ju' wal-faqr fa'innahu bi'sa al-bijir. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from hunger, for verily it is a terrible companion in the bed. Terrible. So how is it that the Sufi is going to come today and say we should starve ourselves? When Rasulullah used to seek refuge in Allah from hunger. How are you going to go all those days without eating? A hunger strike. There is no hunger strike in Islam, Frankie. People, they want to follow the kuffar and everything. We're going to protest how you treat Hispanic people, Latinos. They're going to go on a hunger strike. And we're not going to eat until we die. Wallahi, if you did that, you'll remain getting dying like that in your grave. So Yawm al-Qiyamah. We have brothers from the prison calling us, writing us, saying, we got to go on a hunger strike because they beat one of the brothers down up in here. So, yeah, you can't go on no hunger strike. Bad enough you locked up. Got to make it more difficult on yourself. So, the poor woman, the cousin, she was forced out of necessity to have a relationship. He took advantage of istighlal. He took advantage of her condition. Like the preachers, take advantage of the people. Like the imams, take advantage of their position. The people respect, love, and honor that position. That's why we're saying to you, Ikhwan, we're saying to all you brothers, remember this principle. Remember this statement, this point. Connect yourselves to principles. And don't connect yourselves to personalities. Personalities will always fail you. Personalities will always fail you. Al-Hasan al-Basri, one of the main tabi'een, he used to say to the people, if you knew my sins, you wouldn't be able to stand, if my sins had a stench to it, a smell, you wouldn't be able to be around me. That's what Hasan al-Basri said. What about the regular people today? Don't connect yourselves with iman, iman, iman. La. You only have the opportunity to take a bird's eye view of people in their home, in private, how they are with Allah. Connect yourselves to the principle. This way, if someone falls, it's not a big thing. It's his personal thing, you make dua for him, but you are not affected like Malcolm X was affected. You know, Elijah was the man. When Elijah fell and it proved that he was a liar, it proved that he was a zani, he proved that he was a thief and all of that, it must have been difficult for that man. But Allah wanted good for him and he guided him to the haq. He said, I had the relationship with him. He said in the hadith, so I took my position between her the way that a man takes the position between a woman. And then she said to me, Ya Abdullah, ittaqillah, wa la tafuqqu al-hakim illa bihaqqihi. Oh Abdullah, he came here to do his business. Fear Allah, and do not take off the ring except by the right way. He said, I got up for Allah at that time, and I gave him the money. I said, you can go. If I did that for you and only for your sake, oh Allah, please open the door. Open the door. And the thing moved open. So, the next one said, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Allah, my mother and my father were old people. They were sleeping and I used to go and I used to milk my animals and then I would bring the milk. And then one day I came in and I had the milk in my hand and I saw my mother and my father sleeping. old people, and my children were in the background, screaming, going off, screaming and hollering, shouting, because they were hungry. My own flesh and blood, my babies. And this is one of the hadith to show that your parents have more rights over you than your wife. My own flesh and blood, and your children, my own flesh and blood. And I stayed over their head from the night time until the Fajr time because I didn't want to wake them. When they woke up, I gave it to them. They consumed the milk, gave me the rest, and then we drunk it. I did this only for your sake, move it up. He moved it up. The last one said, and this is when the whole rock moved. Oh Allah, there was a man who did some work for me. He did some business for me. He worked for me. And then he traveled without taking his money, his ujr. And he went away without it. I took his money and I invested his money. Now, Ikhwan, you can't invest anyone's money like that. That's the legislation for the people before. That's not our legislation. So don't let anyone think, oh, I got someone's money, let me invest it. No. I took his money and I invested his money and I brought some sheep, some cows, and camels. And each sheep and cow and camel, it had a baby, it had another one, a mate, and it just filled up all of these pastures. The man came back and said, let me have my money. He said, you see that place over there with all the cows, sheep, it's filled up? He said, yes. He said, all of that is yours. He said, atastahzi ubiya, do you ridicule me? He said, this is what I did. Your money, I took it, I invested it, take it. The man went and got it. Can you imagine, Ikhwan, today, someone doing that? Wallahi, if we invested that money, we would have gave him one sheep, one cow. We would have gave him his money and kept all that for ourselves and considered ourselves to be a tajir, sahib, intelligent businessman. Go ahead. And the amana, Ikhwan, is like that. Wallahi, the amana is a fitna. If I did that only for you and your sake, oh Allah, then move the rock. The rock was moved and they exited the cave. So that goes to prove that a man makes the tawassul by way of the good deeds. So each and every one of you, you think about a good thing that you did in your life as a Muslim. Ya Allah, I brought a box of cereal for a brother. And I brought that cereal for your sake. It was cornflakes. I brought it for your sake and your sake alone, only to develop and create brotherhood and love between us, to practice this sunnah. I did it only for your sake. Oh Allah, please help me with this and this and that and that and that. Whatever you can think of from your best deeds. Don't say, oh Allah, I made Salatul Fajr today. No, from the best thing that you can think about. Oh Allah, I married a sister. She had 5 children. She didn't have anyone to take care of her except you and this. And I wanted to do this honorable thing. I married that sister. Oh Allah, my wife made me very upset, very angry. But I held back my anger only for your sake because I know يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ كَذَمَ غَيْظًا وَهُوَ قَادِرٌ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يُنَفِّذَهُ دَعَاهُ اللَّهُ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ عَلَىٰ رَؤُوسِ الْخَلَائِقِ ثُمَّ يُخَيِّرُهُ بَيْنَ الْحُرُ عَيْنِ مَا شَاءَ. Whether has the ability to hold back his anger and he's able to execute it, Allah will bring him out in front of all of the creation Yawm al-Qiyamah and give him a choice from any of the huru'in. He said, oh Allah, I did that because of this hadith. I believe that hadith and I want that, so therefore help me. Allah help you. So that's the second tawassul that's permissible. The third and final tawassul that is permissible, Ikhwan, is to make the tawassul with someone else. To make the tawassul by another human being. Mithaluhu, I say for an example, akhi, my daughter is sick and she has to go get an operation. Make dua for her. Make dua for her. That's making the tawassul. I'm using you to make dua for her. Ya akhi, I need such and such and such, I'm having this problem. Make dua for me. Ask Allah for me. Two things concerning this, Ikhwan. When people ask us to make dua for them, we should get into the habit of making the dua right there so that you can get it off of your shoulder as a responsibility and as a request. And we should also try not to just say inshallah and then you never really make the dua later on. When they ask you to make dua for them, you should make the dua right then and there. And there's an etiquette in making the dua for people. When you make dua for people, the sunnah taught us to start with yourself. So if you're going to make dua for someone, you know, people come there and say, SubhanAllah, make dua for them. Say to them, وَفَّقَنَا اللَّهُ وَإِيَّاكَ. May Allah give us the tawfiq in you. سَحَلَ اللَّهُ لَنَا وَلَكُمْ. May Allah make it easy for us and for you. But then after that, and you go, make dua in his absence, because the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if someone makes dua for his brother in his absence, the malaika say to the one who's making the dua in his, for his brother, wa anta kadhalik, wa anta kadhalik. And also what you're praying for is for you, it's for you. So we make the dua right away. What's the proof that's from the sunnah? The Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we go to the grave, we say to them, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته يا أهل الديار من المسلمين والمسلمات نسأل الله لنا ولكم العافية. We say to them, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله, people of the grave. We ask Allah for us and for you the عافية. العافية, a good condition. It doesn't mean good health here. Allah يعطيك العافية. It doesn't mean good health here. They're in the grave, they're dead. No more health. The صحة is finished for them. It means a good condition that you in your grave, ولن تعذب. You in your grave and your good deeds are your companion. You are in the grave and your grave is expansive and it has light. And not that you in your grave and you are frightened and terrorized. You in your grave and your deeds have an ugly face with big nose, with smoke pulling out of it, looking at you and breathing at you like that. The terror of that alone has you tripping, punished. No, we ask Allah for us and for you the afiyah. The other thing is, if you ask people to make dua for you, does it make sense that you ask other people to make dua for you and then you forget to make dua for yourself? What kind of stuff is that? I have a business, I'm going to put everybody here, do this, and I'm going to leave the business? No, you more than anyone else. When it relates to your business, you're going to be on top of things more than everyone else. So the third at tawassul that's permissible is the tawassul where you ask someone else to make dua for you. But this has some things we need to understand. First of all, Dhulqarnain, you make tawassul with other people while they are living. While we are living, we make the tawassul for the other people while they are living. You make the tawassul through other people while they're living in this life. Because in the hereafter, there's a tawassul that's going to be made by the believers in the next life. And you know, we're there. It's going to be after this life. When is that? Anybody know it? How much I'm going to give? Let me see. Anybody can figure out in the hereafter when we're going to make the tawassul in the hereafter, the believers? Anybody know? Nah, I ain't going to say that. Go ahead.
Would it be when
they
cross the
siraj into
the next
bridge,
when you have to retaliate against one another?
No, the shafa'ah. I mean, when they're going to make the shafa'ah and the tawassul in the next life, the shafa'ah, really, not the tawassul, is when all of the people are going to come to Adam and they're going to say, Adam, don't you see what our condition is? You're the father of mankind. You're the father of mankind, and Allah created you with His own hands, and He breathed into you the spirit of life. Ask Allah to get us out of this situation. And Adam would say, I made a sin. You know, I pushed the tree. Go to Noah. The people go to Noah. Noah, you're the first messenger that Allah sent. Allah drowned the world and left you alive. Don't you see our condition? What? Help us out. I asked something I shouldn't have asked for. And that was, I asked for my son, the mushrik, the kafir. Go to Ibrahim. Ya Ibrahim, you are the Khalil of Allah. Don't you see our condition? Don't you help? What's up? Ask Allah, my father. Go to Isa. Listen to the hadith. They'll go to Isa and they'll say, Isa, don't you see the situation? Isa's not going to mention anything that he did. Isa's going to say, he elated me. It's not for me. Go to Muhammad. The point is, Isa is not going to mention anything about himself. Which shows his virtue, man. Isa, when he come back, Ikhwan, I'm telling you, the Prophet ﷺ left us with a amana. He said, if Isa ibn Maryam come, relate to him my salam. So the people of the Sunnah, we don't expect to see Isa, but Allahu A'lam. The way the people are today with personalities and these people, Isa come, they'll be all in awe. And we may forget. But the people of the Sunnah, they wait and say, hey, Isa ibn Maryam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to you, assalamu alaykum. So Isa is not going to mention it. Go to Muhammad. He'll come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya Rasulullah, this is our condition, can't you see? And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will make this intercession. So the tawassul, that's in that life. But in this life, a tawassul can only be made from someone who is living. You can't go to Rasulullah in the grave and say, ya Rasulullah, help me this, help me that. During the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar was the Khalifa, and the Muslims were afflicted with a drought. It hadn't rained for months. So they took Abbas Ibn Abdul Muttalib, the uncle of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They say, ya Abbas, you are the uncle of the Messenger of Allah. So therefore we want you to lead the Salat al-Istisqa, the Salat of rain, seeking rain. So he led the Salat and it rained. People take that and they say, you see, it was by virtue of his relationship to Rasulullah, right. We say, nah, the Sahaba, they looked at that. They saw his position with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he was living. He was living, alive and well, walking around. If we know a person to be righteous amongst us, we say to that person, look, you need the istisqa. Inshallah, Allah is going to listen to you. Allah is going to accept it from you. Nothing wrong with that. I know a righteous man, I'm going to say to him, inshallah, I think you're a righteous man. I think your dua is accepted. You ask Allah by virtue of the fact that I believe that you're righteous. But do we find the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing that all the time? Ya Fatima, you're the daughter of Rasulullah. Ya Hassan wa Hussein, you're the Rayhan of the Prophet in Jannah. Ya Abu Bakr, you're his best friend. Ya Aisha, you're the most beloved person to him. Ya Fulan, you're this. Ya Fulan, you're this. No, we don't find them doing that. Do we find the companions going to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asking him, do this for us, do that for us? Do you think that we're going to come up with a plan like celebrating his birthday and it's good in it and they didn't? We're going to come up with a plan of asking him to do for us and they didn't and it's good in it? Wallahi, it's impossible. It's impossible. So the person, he has to be, who he has to be living, and he can't be a person who is dead. And he only can make the tawassul in what has been legislated. So with that, inshallah, that's the third naqit of the nawaqit of al-Islam, that if the person falls into it, he will have his deeds rendered null and void. And we'll take the third, inshallah. That was the second one. We'll take the third one next week, bi-idhnillah, which is the one who doesn't say that the mushrikun are kuffar. The one who doesn't make the takfir of the mushrik, he is a kafir. He goes outside of the realm of al-Islam. And just let me reiterate this. Two things I want to mention. The first thing is, I listened to the first tape of the Aqidah of Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri and the ta'rif of the Qur'an, the explanation of the Qur'an. There was a mistake in it. Because what I understood was being said in the tape is that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah that was revealed on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, and it was revealed mutawatir. That's a mistake. The Qur'an wasn't revealed mutawatir. Someone should have caught that. You know how when I make statements with my tongue and there's something else, someone should have said, how come the Qur'an, at-tawatir means what? A lot of people took it. So how is it that it was real mutawatir to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he was only one person? You understand the point? The Qur'an wasn't revealed mutawatir to a lot of people. It was revealed only to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it is preserved and relayed to us, mutawatir. It comes after the companions, mutawatir. You understand? That's all. And we fail to mention the other thing about the Qur'an is that it is ibadah to read it. So the Qur'an is the speech of Allah, meaning it's not the speech of anyone else, not the jinn or anyone else, that was revealed on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Qur'an is the kalam of Allah. Minhu bada'a, from him it originated. It's the speech of Allah. So it's not the speech of a jinn. It's not the speech, as the mushrikun said to the Prophet, this is the speech of the jinn. It's not the speech of a soothsayer or a poet. It's not poetry. that was revealed on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, it is not the Torah that was revealed on Musa, nor is it the Injil that was revealed to Isa, nor the Zabur of Dawood, or the Suhuf of Ibrahim and Musa. That was narrated and transmitted to us by way of a tawatur, by a lot of people taking it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave it to the companions, and many of them memorized it. And then after they were on the scene, they gave it to their students, and many of them memorized it. And then the next generation, many of them memorized it. To this day, many people memorize the Quran. And it will continue to be that way until Allah ta'ala takes the Quran in one night, and you won't find an ayah in the heart of one single man or woman in one night. And the last thing is, it is ibadah when you read it. Why is that important? It's ibadah when you read it. You all know the hadith, whoever reads one of the letters of the Quran, alif, lam, or meem, is 10 hasanat, 10 rewards. He said, and I don't say alif, lam, meem is 10. I'm saying alif is 10, lam is 10, and meem is 10. So if you take the Quran, or you just sit there and you start to read the Quran, with everything that you read, there's written down for you reward. When you hear it, there's reward. But the hadith al-Qudsi, which is from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, it's from Allah. The proof that it's from Allah is that the Prophet said, that Allah said, فِيمَا يَرْوِيهِ أَنْ رَبِّي, what he narrated from his Lord. أَنَا أَغْنَى الشُّرَكَاء عن الشرك فَمَنْ عَمَلَ عَمَلًا أَشْرَكَ فِيهِ بِي فَرَفْتَهُ وَشِرْكَهُ. The Prophet said that Allah said, I am the most self-sufficient one from shirk. So whether does an action in which he makes shirk with me, I'll leave him in his shirk. How are we going to say Rasulullah said that when he said Allah said that? But it's not the Quran, it's the Hadith al-Qudsi. And you should get that Hadith al-Qudsi, it's that green book. Izzuddin or something, Dennis, someone, he put it together. Get that green book, read it, familiarize yourselves with some of the Hadith al-Qudsi. So if you read the Hadith al-Qudsi and you just sit there and you read, عن أبي ذر رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما يرويه عن ربه قال الله تعالى يا قوم يا عبادي, and you say that, there's not any ibadah in the statements that you're saying. It's not ibadah for the statements. It's ibadah or worship because you're reading and you're trying to learn, but in the word, no. It's not established that that alif lam mim is a reward. Whereas in the Quran, if you say yasin, qaf, alif lam mim, qaf, you say that, just sit in here, you get 10 rewards for each one, as long as your niyyah is I'm reading the haruf of the Quran, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, and you just read, you're going to get a reward for every single one. Whereas in the hadith al-Qudsi, that, that's the first thing, the correction we wanted to make from the aqidah of al-imam Sufyan al-Thawri, and someone should have been up on that one. The second thing that we wanted to mention is, when we say the nawaqis of al-Islam, things that nullify your Islam, I want to make this perfectly clear right now. There are some Muslims who walk around, especially our brothers in Egypt, because this jama'at really began and it developed in Egypt, and they developed and they brought more evil than good. And that's our brothers from the group called Jama'at al-Takfir wal-Hijra. Those people who say you're a kafir for doing sin. People may do things that have been described as being kufr. Many of those young brothers, they love Islam, but they don't have knowledge. They have only hamad, without knowledge. So when they see their mother, who took care of them not wearing the hijab, which is from Islam, and Allah ordered her to do it, they'll say, you are kafir. And they won't eat by their mother's house, they won't give her salams, and they'll treat her bad. She doesn't go outside of the fold of Islam just like that. Yes, that's an evil action that she's doing. A kabira from the kabair, but not outside of Islam. So we have to understand that the sunnah obligates us to make excuses for Muslims. Muslims are ma'zurun with some reasons. They have excuses. Before we pronounce takfir on people, we have to make sure that these issues, the mawani', the things that will prevent us from making takbir, are out of the way. Like, the argument has to be established on a person before you can say that he's a kafir. The argument has to be established upon him. Al-jahl, ignorance, is an argument for him. If you don't know, a man, he's arguing with you. He's a new Muslim. And he says, in the course of the argument, Jesus Christ, he doesn't mean to call on Jesus to help him. It's just a word on his tongue. You say, oh, that's a statement of kufr, yes. But does he go outside of Islam? No, he didn't mean that like that. A man makes sajda to other than Allah. He makes sajda facing an idol out of ignorance. He doesn't know. She puts the Quran over the baby's head. Also, a person may be compelled to do something. Two men are traveling. One group of people say to him, to one man, if you don't slaughter this fly, we're going to kill you. They said, one slaughtered the fly, the other one said, no, I'm not slaughtering. Then one who slaughtered, they let him go. He killed for other than Allah. He slaughtered for other than Allah. The other one said, I'm not slaughtering. So they kill him and they kill him. They chop his neck off. Do it out of ignorance. If you're compelled to do something, also one of the reasons that I give you an excuse is a ta'wil. A ta'wil. Those people who say that Allah's hand is His power, Allah's laughing is His pleasure, Allah's coming down or being over the throne is His being over the creation in His power. Those are ta'wils that are against the religion, but we don't say those people are kuffar. Because the ta'wil, you can understand it like that even though it's a ta'wil ghayru sa'ir. It really can't be used right here. So when Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab says here, whoever does this and this, he's outside of the fold of Islam, be careful of being of those people or not being from the people who, when you see a Muslim doing something that we've been reading about, you automatically say, no, you're a kafir. You have put between you and Allah a middleman, so you're a kafir. No, before we say that, we're saying this action is kufr, but the person may not necessarily be a kafir until the argument is established upon him. So, you guys have any questions, inshallah? But it's easy class. No, problem.
What about the
those people who do that, they're not putting that as a middleman between them and Allah, but they're trying to show love and respect and honor and reverence to the Quran. So we understand that that's what they're trying to do. We say they should stay away from that because the reading of the Quran is ibadah. We should do it the way it's been legislated, and we should stay away from kissing it because the kissing now has also become a form of ibadah. Every time you read it, you close it, and you put it on your hand and you kiss it. Now there's that ayat in the Quran that's very clear. ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَذَّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. That is, whoever exalts the institutions of Allah, the pillars, the principles of Allah, of Al-Islam, that is a proof of the taqwa in their heart. Surely, akhi, we should respect the Quran. We should respect the Quran, and we shouldn't sit here and the brother say, hey, can I see that Quran? So I take it and I throw it across the floor like this to him. And then someone says to him, you can do that because there's no dalil to prevent you from doing that. No, when we look at the ayat and we look at the surahs of the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet, when he said, لا يسافرن أحدكم إلى أرض العدو بالمصحف. Don't let anyone travel to the land of the kuffar, of the enemy, with the Quran. Why? They'll desecrate it. They'll disrespect it. So it shows we should honor the Quran. People lost their life for this Quran. Right? So we're not going to go to the extreme on either side. One extreme is put it on the highest shelf in your house. You got to get up on a chair to get it down. Understand? And it's just up there like that. I don't know what that means. And then the other extreme is you're always kissing it. Every time you get it, you kiss it. Now, swearing by other than Allah. Now, since the Quran is a sifa from the sifat of Allah, it's His speech, and you can swear by the characteristics of Allah. By the people used to say wa izzatillah, or bi izzatik, by your might, by your power.
بِقُدْرَةِ اللَّهِ by the ability of Allah. They used to make this swear. You can swear. The Prophet even did that, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or by his name, Wallahi, Wal-Rahmani, Wal-Qudusi, Wal-Salami, Bis-Salami, Tas-Salami. Like this, you can do that. But even though the Quran is a characteristic from Allah, we don't hear the people of the past doing that. We don't hear them saying, I swear by the finger of Allah, I swear by the foot of Allah, I swear by the shin of Allah. So what did Abdullah bin Mas'ud say? He said, اتبعوا ولا تبتدعوا فقد كفيتم. Follow and do not innovate. It's enough for you. Wallahi, you won't go wrong. But if someone did it, I'm not going to get all bent out of shape. But I will say, akhi, that's a serious ijtihad that you're making now. That's a serious ijtihad. So therefore, we would advise not to swear by those things that the people of the past didn't swear by. We stick with وَرَبِّ الْكَعْبَ, by the Lord of the Kaaba. وَاللَّهِ تَاللَّهِ بِاللَّهِ. We stick with that. We stick with وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, by the one whose hands my soul is in. We say things like that. And we don't go to those other issues, even though it's been authentically established that he, تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى, has a finger in all of those things. Ya muqallib al-qulub, wa muqallib al-qulub. We swear by those types of things. Now,
the question was that related to the hadith that you receive 10 good deeds for every letter that you recite to the earth.
10 hasanat.
Oh, 10 hasanat.
Yeah, not 10 good deeds.
What if you said it with the
now, like you have A-L-H-A-M-D-U Alhamdulillah, and you're reading it like that. Nothing in the hadith says you have to be reading it from Arabic or phonetic, whether it's Chinese or whatever. Understand? So if you're saying the harf or the character, that's what counts, not necessarily what you're reading. That's what counts. And if you're reading the phonetics, inshallah, you'll be from those people who get the double reward. As the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha said, الَّذِي يَقْرَ الْقُرْآنِ وَهُوَ مَاهِرٌ بِهِ مَعَ السَّفَرَةِ الْكِرَامِ الْبَرَرَ وَالَّذِي يَقْرَ الْقُرْآنِ وَهُوَ يَتَتَعُ فِيهِ وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ الشَّاقِ فَلَهُ أَجْرَانِ. The one who reads the Qur'an, and he is an expert in reading the Qur'an, he knows the med or the amdad, he knows how long to elongate, he knows where to stop in the Quran, he knows if he stops how to pick it up and keep on going. He's a good memorizer, he's an expert in the Quran. Wallahi, there's no one better than them. خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه. The best of you is he who memorizes, who learns the Quran, and then he teaches the Quran. Those companions, again, hear that hadith. The man says, since I heard that hadith, I always spent my time trying to be the best to, you know, persevere in the Quran and to teach it. So anyway, he said, whoever is an expert in the Quran will be raised up yawm al-qiyamah with the angels. And the one who reads the Quran and it is difficult upon him and he stutters in reading it, he will get a double reward. A reward for reading the Quran and the reward for his effort. So we can understand that a number of ways. We can understand, instead of it being 10 hasanat for you for alif, it may be 20 for your attempt to read it and the difficulty. But like we said the other day, Juan, that brother is a lawyer. You know, we have different professionals in our community. Giving your time to the Quran is more difficult than all of that other stuff, that nonsense of the dunya. The proof of it is we just look at ourselves, and each and every person says to himself, how much time have I been given seriously to memorizing the Quran? It's something that the overwhelming minority of people are doing. Of course, it's something for rijal, for the men. And everybody, almost everybody, falls short in that area. If you were to get serious about the Quran today, you have to worry about people looking at you as being strange. Oh, that's strange. So, that's the answer.
Any more questions? نعم فضل أخي لقمان الحكيم. Right. Right. And I also find it strange as well, Ahim. The hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, whoever does an action or whoever introduces an action that's not from our religion is being rejected. It's talking about the people who create the bid'ah or they are practicing the bid'ah. So you not practicing the sunnah and praying the way he prayed exactly, and you're not introducing anything, you're just leaving things off, you can't really call that a bid'ah. And a clear proof that not praying the salat exactly how he did doesn't nullify your Islam, so many, or it doesn't nullify your deeds, is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بأم الكتاب. There's no salat for the person who doesn't read the beginning of the book. No, let's leave that one on the side. That's too complicated. The hadith, لا وضوء لمن لم يذكر اسم الله. There is no wudu for the one who doesn't mention Allah's name, who doesn't start the wudu and say Bismillah. The majority of the scholars are of the opinion that the meaning of no wudu here, and there's no salat for the one who doesn't read Fatiha, the meaning of it is that it is not complete, not the highest perfect level. Why? Because when you come into the masjid and the imam is in rukur, and you come and you get into rukur and you catch that rak'ah, the first rak'ah in rukur, did you read the first al-fatiha? And yet you get that rak'ah, but it's not the complete one because you didn't read the fatiha before. Similarly, the bismillah before making the wudu, your wudu will be good, but it is incomplete. Even though I feel that the people who say you don't have any wudu, if you don't say bismillah you don't have any wudu, I feel they have a strong opinion. Wallahi, I feel they have a strong opinion. But inshallah we'll do that very briefly, maybe after Salatul Isha, very briefly. But that's the point. There is something that you may not be doing from the sunnah, in which, from the salat, in which the Prophet clearly showed us, but your salat is still accepted. It's just naqisa. You know, it's not from the hifz of the salat. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.